in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you'll shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I'll be able to boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. This is the word of the Lord. We pick up Philippians in a very famous position, place here. These first words that we read to start with, verses 5 through to 11, the boffins, the commentators, suggest that it was either a very early statement of faith, a little summary of what the very early church believed about Jesus, and compare that with what we believe about Jesus now, and you won't get anything between it. Or it was perhaps a song, or maybe both. It could have been an early hymn from the Philippian church's monthly songs of praise service or something. Whatever it is, it's very famous, isn't it? It's used in Church of England liturgy sometimes in place of a formal creed, and it's frequently referred to by preachers and teachers and all sorts of different people. Why is it here, though, in the letter to the Philippians? Well, the Philippians were very like us in very many ways. They were very like us. They were a good church, a church that was gospel-centered, that was Jesus-centered, a church where the members wanted to live God's way for God's glory and the good of the church and the people around. They were a great little church, but they were a great little church, and there was a big world out there, a very big world. A world where it would be very easy to give up on following Jesus because it looked quite weak. Even their kind of chief pastor chap, Paul, who wrote the letter, he was off in jail. That's how powerful the gospel was, some might say. The one who is taking it around the known world is in jail because of it. What have it looked like for the Philippian church to give up or to feel discouraged? They probably wouldn't wake up one morning and think, "Well, we're going to stop being a church now. We're going to become, I don't know, greengrocers instead," or whatever. They wouldn't do that. They would just begin to drift, wouldn't they? They would drift away from Jesus. Gradually, slowly, they would not allow him to be the one who governed their lives. They've not started doing that yet. They're not at that point by any means. But Paul doesn't want them to get anywhere near there. So he holds up Jesus as an example here. Yes, absolutely, he's teaching precisely what Jesus has done, but he's holding up Jesus as an example. Look with me, it's at verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The obvious question, if you finish at verse 5, is what mindset did he have? How can we have the same mindset of him as him if you don't tell us what his mindset was, Paul? So Paul doesn't let them ask that question. He's laid out in those famous verses what Jesus' mindset was so that the Philippians and we can ask God to help us copy him. He's our stencil. He's our example to follow. Verse 6, Jesus, who was in very nature God, didn't consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. So the first thing to learn from that is that even Jesus, the divine Son of God, the one who we find in Colossians, for whom everything was made and he made everything, together with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, even he didn't consider his position to be used to his own advantage. Rather, verse 7, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Just grasp that if you can. The one for whom everything was made became a servant of the people he made. Remarkable, isn't it? That Jesus did not decide to use his position for advantage. Rather, he turned everything upside down and he said, I'm going to serve. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This Jesus, this one who rightfully has the highest position in all creation and beyond, humbled himself below anything we could possibly imagine. Humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. The death of a common criminal, the one who had no sin, became sin for us, that we may go free. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that was above every name, that at his name every knee should rightfully bow. Here is the Son. Here is God who has given himself up for us and has been proved at his resurrection to be victorious over all things. It's right, isn't it, that our knee should bow to him, that everybody's knee, everything, everywhere, should bow to this Jesus. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord meaning supreme ruler over all things, to the glory of God the Father. So what should our mindset be? Our mindset under God, through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. We can't well this up in ourselves, can we? This is God working by his Spirit through his word in our hearts and in our minds. Our mindset should be that mindset that gives ourselves up. Praise God, so many people here do. I think everybody does to a certain extent. That's a wonderful thing to see, isn't it? And to see a church family, two church families, a benefice family, increasingly giving of themselves is a joy. One of those things that God is working amongst us and working in his kindness amongst us. as we focus our minds individually and corporately on Jesus, as we fill our minds with him, so God will change our minds and grow our hearts to be more and more shaped like him. Verse 12, therefore, my dear friends, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now also in my absence, remember he's in jail, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh my goodness, that sounds really scary, doesn't it? Do I have to work out my salvation? What does that mean? Thankfully, there's verse 13 as well. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. What's our job once we've filled our minds with Jesus, as we stick in his word, as we grow in him, as we fill our minds with him, so we will work out our salvation. We'll live our Christian lives following him, seeing his goodness, seeing the signs of life that he's giving to his church and those on the fringe and those who are being brought in. Seeing our lives grow more and more like his life. Not necessarily more today than it was yesterday, but more this year than last. And more this decade than last. And that is God working within us in order to fulfill his good purpose. As we live out our Christian lives in the power of God's Holy Spirit, so that is God working in our lives. I wonder if you've ever thought, God doesn't really work in me much. Well, are you a Christian? Because if you are a Christian, that is evidence of God working in your life. Remarkable, isn't it? Just being Christian, which sounds, it's a great thing, but it doesn't sound very whiz-bang, does it? Just being a normal Christian is God working in your life. And verses 14 and 15 remind us of some of the highlights of what that looks like. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, because God wants us to be united together, as we're hearing this morning, if for those of us who are here or at St. Luke's, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Gosh, we are in a warped and crooked generation, aren't we? How far is our world so often from God's will? How broken is it? How quickly do people run away from God? Us included, if we're honest. But then we come back because we hear the call of the Lord to come back in humble repentance. But we do live in a warped and crooked generation, just like the Philippians did. A generation that calls us away from Jesus, like the sirens calling us away from the safe place. And yet, we keep our eyes on Jesus. And then, of course, because of him working within us, we will shine in this world like stars. Think of a deep black sky. Difficult to think of these days, isn't it, because there's so much light around. But have you ever been out to the countryside and in the night and just looked up at the sky and seen the stars? The stars placed there on the black velvet, shining in every direction you can see. As we firmly hold to God's word, hold it in our hands, hold it out to others, hold it in our hearts, then we are those who are shining in this dark world, aren't we? And all this passage is asking us to do is to keep Jesus in our minds, in our hearts, and he will do the rest. As we keep our minds fixed on him, So he will work in us that we work out our salvation and shine like stars in a dark world. God is good, isn't he? He doesn't put a heavy weight on us. He doesn't say, do this, and then you'll be a better Christian. He says, look at me. Look at Jesus. See him. Fill your heart, fill your mind with him. And ask me to make you more and more like him. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this little passage. Please, would you cause us to be more and more like Jesus as we fill our hearts and minds with him. Please help us to grow in him, to grow more and more like him day by day. Please, would you do that for us individually? Do that for us in families where we're in a Christian family. Do that for us as church families and as a benefice family. And we ask that you would cause us to shine like stars in Kirkcaldy and Willoughby and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.